We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast, brought to you by Gill Mortgage Company and the Karen Nilsson team, experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. All right, it is our broadcaster's preview podcast where we take a look at what happened the previous week and we look ahead to what to expect this weekend. So with that in mind, let's take a look back at Utah State and a gutty, gritty, hard-fought, slugfest, any other nasty adjective you want to attach to it, game against Colorado State. It was rainy, it was nasty, but Utah State found a way to get a W, and that was a bit of a gut check, Kevin, as the Aggies found a way to get it done.
They did. I mean, four turnovers. What I thought was so impressive is how that defense played in the second half, getting three turnovers of their own, and including the David Woodward. I mean, just you go back and watch that play, and Woodward ducks inside a big offensive lineman's tackle, sneaks in, wraps his arms around the football from Marvin Kinsey Jr. and rips it out and takes it back 8 yards for a touchdown. I mean, they needed every single play that they got from that defense. And, you know, I think it's great to see that they're actually finding multiple ways to grind out victories. It's not always the offense at times. It's not always the defense. They're complementing each other, and they're getting great play in special teams, including Savon Scarver's kick six, 108-yarder that just opened the Red Sea and parted down the sideline. And when you go back and look at that one, did you get a chance to see the end zone view of that one, Scotty?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The blocks on the sideline.
Yeah.
LaValle,
yeah, just totally pancaking a guy in the open field.
And Gary Anderson talking about saying, no, what's he doing to, wow, he just ran right by me. Look at that. It was pretty amazing. So, you know, a great team victory for Utah State in a miserable weather condition. And you got to give it up to the herd and the Aggie fans, that 20,000 of them that came out and battled that rainstorm. It was a heck of a win for Utah State.
So the thing that I really enjoyed about that game is Utah State got punched in the mouth a little bit like last year. Colorado State, they knew what they were doing. They had a plan. They executed the plan very well. The difference between this year and last year, to me, was the way that the defense played. And the defense may have gotten pushed around a little bit in the first half, but boy, they got things dialed around in the second half and only gave up one field goal, and that was on a short field after the field goal or after the interception. That defensive presence, especially in the second half, was as good as anything I've seen from this team all year.
I agree. And I think they're getting better and better
yep.
every week.
Yep.
And I'm really, really impressed with Justin and his ability to make adjustments, especially at halftime. As you recall, Nate Craig Myers, that great wide receiver, the transfer from Auburn, had three catches for 97 yards in the first half, and that's what he ended with. As Utah State, you know, changed up the coverage a little bit, bracketed Craig Myers a little bit more in the second half, and they held him without a catch in the second half. As a matter of fact, with the field position and with the defense, almost the entire second half, minus the interception that Jordan Love threw early in that second half that gave them the field goal, everything was played in Utah State's half of the field. And so they really dominated the line of scrimmage. And then I thought the other key was their ability to manage the clock and get the running game going with Gerald Bright, who carried it 36 times for 179 yards. That was a thing of beauty from that senior co-captain, and he was an absolute warrior in that game. So I think you're right, Scotty. The defense and their ability to run the football when they had to was really a couple of the keys in that win.
And then you can't say enough about Gerald Bright and how special of a player that young man is. 37 carries in that game, 179 yards. And you saw there was a moment where they brought in, Jaylen Warren leaves the game due to an injury. And Gerald Bright's becoming the bell cow, but you still need to give him a few opportunities to get off the field. They went with Riley Burt for a couple carries, but I think there's a concern there about a guy who had not played. It was rainy. It was nasty. It was very physical. And another turnover may have done in Utah State at that point. And they're like, you know what? Let's just play it safe. Go with the guy who's brought us here. And boy, they fed him the ball and fed it to him a lot. Had a chance to chat with Gary Anderson earlier today on my show on our flagship station, The Zone, out of Salt Lake City. And he said, yeah, they're going to ease him back into practice this week because he took a heavy, heavy load last week.
He did. And you and I had a chance to talk to him after the game. And he said, yeah, that ice bath was going to feel really good that night. And he's just going to chill on Sunday. They're going to need him. You know, don't know how serious the injury is to Jaylen Warren. You hope he's going to be able to go on Saturday at LSU because he's been a real difference maker as well. But they need that 1-2 punch at the running back position. And I'm just not certain that they've been able to find that third back yet, if it's Riley Burt or if it's Enoch Nwabuhine or who that might be that will emerge there as that third back. But they're probably going to need that guy, if not this week, somewhere down the line. So, Gerald Bright was an absolute stud on Saturday night. They just kept feeding possession, just kept riding him all the way down the field until he couldn't go any further. So, it was really fun to see, especially on a night where Jordan Love didn't have his best.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jordan was 17 of 33 for 204 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but he had the interception return for a touchdown and the second interception that it felt to me, Scotty, like he might have been forcing it a little bit to C.O.C. Mariner. Mariner only had two catches in the game, and it looked like he was trying to get him a couple of opportunities and left the interception return for the touchdown short that Andre Neal picked off and returned for a touchdown. And then the second one to Keyvon Bailey was just a little kind of a hitch or a stick route that Bailey just jumped. And so I think Jordan will learn from those opportunities. Of course, it was a nasty weather game, so you got to give him a little bit of a break. But it certainly was not his best night, and you needed that defense and you needed that running game to bail you out just a little bit. And I got to believe that Jordan Love will bounce back this week at LSU.
And I think that's an interesting way of looking at it too, because I think that you win a game in which your best player doesn't play his best game. And I think that's a sign in itself of just how good this guy can be, or how good this team can be when, you know, look, let's be honest here. As Jordan Love goes, the majority of the team will go as well. But when it's not firing on all cylinders and the conditions are taking some things away for other guys to step up and play well, I thought was a really, really key element for this game and a nice win. And let's be honest here. And I think we can go real talk here. It's a heavy task to go to LSU and get a win. So with that in mind, going into that game at 3-1 and 2-0 in conference play gives you a little bit of cushion with this game as opposed to going into this game at 2-2 and 1-1 in conference play. Coming out of this potentially at 2-3 and then having to get back into conference play, that's an uphill battle. That one game swing means a lot for this team and their confidence going forward.
I agree. Huge win in that regard for Utah State to get to that 2-0 conference record. And this game against LSU kind of falls at a weird time of the schedule
yep.
of the season. And I think Coach Anderson has actually talked a little bit about that. But, you know, it's a great opportunity, and it's really a no-lose opportunity for Utah State. Just go down and just let it rip. You know, just let it loose. And it's a team at LSU that's given up a few things on defense, characteristically, but they're lights out on offense. And so, you know, it's just one of those games where you go down and you just throw your best out there and throw caution to the wind. This may be one of those games where you'll see some flea flickers and fake punts and different things and get some stuff on film for the rest of the conference teams to take a look at. Yet also, you know, these are games where Utah State traditionally has actually performed pretty well.
Yeah.
Yep. Auburn, Wisconsin, Michigan State, USC, I mean, you name it, and Wake Forest. They've been close. And I think if Utah State can perhaps hold this thing to a one-score game one way or the other getting into the fourth quarter, who knows what may happen. And just go let it rip. There's nothing to lose this weekend.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that, too. You know, if there's, you know, we've talked to a lot of coaching staff throughout the year, and they bring up a good point, like, let's make things uncomfortable on guys in the fourth quarter. You know, let's keep it that one possession game into the fourth quarter, and let's try to make some people nervous. But I tell you what, you look at what they've done, and granted, they haven't really played the who's who of college football outside of a game against Texas, but Georgia Southern 55-3, Texas 45-38. Now, that was at Texas. That's an impressive W for them. But that was a one possession game, and they gave up points to Texas. Northwestern State 65-14, and then game against Vanderbilt in Vandy, they won that game 66-38. So I tell you what, that offense has been clicking. They're averaging nearly 58 points a game, and it all begins with the quarterback, Joe Burrow. I know you've had a chance to look a little bit at LSU, but what jumps out at you when you watch that young man from a quarterback perspective?
Just how accurate he is. I mean, he's 100 of 124. He's completing 80% of his balls for 1,520 yards and 17 touchdowns through four games. They changed their offense in the spring, be a little bit more wide open. I mean, when you think of LSU, you think of, you know, get him back in the I formation and run your off tackles and, you know, really try to power run this thing. And, you know, he's throwing for almost 380 yards a game. He threw for 471 yards against Texas, and he's got great weapons at the wide out position. You look at their red zone, they're 27 of 27 in the red zone, including 22 touchdowns. You know, they've got three receivers in Marshall and in Jefferson and Jamar Chase, who've all caught five or six touchdown passes. Each of those three had 100 yards receiving in that game against Texas. It just, one after another, their offensive numbers are just jumping out at you. But what you also expect from an LSU team is a stout defense, yet they're giving up about 21 points a game so far this year, including that 38 points to both Texas and to Vandy. And so, you know, they're giving up a few things, and they're a little bit banged up on the defensive side. So
yep.
Could this potentially be a bit of a shootout, or could Justin Enna and that defensive staff perhaps throw a little changeup that makes Joe Burrow a little uncomfortable? It'll be interesting because they play Florida next week, and it's their homecoming, and they may be looking past Utah State just a little bit, although they're coming off a bye week. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You just hope that maybe they're overlooking Utah State just a little bit this week, and the Utah State has a plan, and they just go out and play loose and make this a really interesting ball game in Baton Rouge on Saturday morning.
You know, you go back to the Gerald Wright conversation we had, and he mentioned that this is only going to be the second time ever that his mom's going to be able to watch him play a college football game. And look, there's some kids on this team from Texas and from Florida and back east. You know, look, it's going to be all LSU fans there, but Utah State's going to have some people there, and they're going to have some family members there, and I'm with you on that. Let's let this team rip. Let them have some fun and get after it a little bit. You know, you're heavy underdog, so throw it around a little bit, score some points, and see what happens.
I agree. You just also hope that you come out of this unscathed from an injury standpoint. You're already, you know, banged up in a lot. And I mean, that was such a physical football game Saturday night against Colorado State. People don't realize how tough that game really was. And it took a toll a little bit on this football team. And, you know, it'll be good to get a bye week after this game against LSU to get ready for Nevada and get back into the core of the conference season. But, you know, I got to believe that Utah State's confident enough that they're going to run down to Baton Rouge they've won 14 out of their last 17. Coach Anderson is 19-4 in his last 23 games. They've won 8 of their last 12 road games. I mean, it's a confident football team that's finding ways to win, and they don't care who it is. It's Wake Forest or Michigan State or BYU or LSU. You know, these kids don't have history lessons that they look at. They don't know how good some of these teams have been in the past. They just know how good they can be. And I don't think they've reached their full potential yet.
No, so, I think that's a really good point, too. And honestly, you and I are going to be sweating like crazy up in the booth. But I think that this actually, the weather, maybe some of the Utah boys may not like this, and maybe some of the California kids. But I think some of the, like, I think Jordan Love, honestly, I think this is weather that he'll probably play better in than he did in the rain and 50-degree weather in Logan.
You're probably right. And, you know, he played very well in the heat and humidity at Wake Forest. Other than, you know, he had a few interception issues. And that's been a little bit of a concern, is to see the two interceptions Saturday night and the three at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
He's thrown five interceptions on the season. He threw only six all of last year. But I think you're right. I think that this will be a game where he can just get out and spin it. The ball will be comfortable. The field will be fast. You know, it's daytime, morning time, that for that matter. And, you know, the last time Utah State played a 10 a.m. mountain game, do you remember what it was?
That would probably be the Auburn game, right?
Yeah. You remember what happened that week?
Saturday. I like
Utah State had it won.
It was a fun game for about 58 minutes and 30 seconds.
And then they got the onside kick, and Utah State lost it. I think it was 42-38. That was Chucky Keaton's freshman year. I think it was Gary's second to last season at Utah State. And, you know, who knows? You go down there and you maybe get into a little bit of a shootout, and you put some fear into these guys, and you stay close with them, and who knows what could happen at the end. But I think you're right. I think Jordan will play much better this week, and I think they'll have a really good game plan to utilize Mariner and Rep and those wide receivers, Scarver and Jordan Nathan. They'll get some players in space, and they'll make a few plays, and I think they'll make it uncomfortable for LSU on Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's going to be key, too, is just making things uncomfortable. Make have a team that kind of second-guesses themselves. It's like, San Jose State went into Arkansas, and like LSU and Arkansas aren't even on the same stratosphere. But there's no way Arkansas should be losing to San Jose State. San Jose State got momentum in the second half, and then Arkansas tried to turn it on and just couldn't do it because they weren't mentally into the game, and you just can't flip that switch sometimes. And I think that's what happened there. And again, look, it's going to be a yeoman's effort. A lot of things are going to have to come into play. But I think if I'm Gary Anderson, I'm like, hey, go out, let's have some fun, let's let it rip, and make some people uncomfortable out there, and then see what happens.
You know, if they can stay clean and the turnover, I mean, this is an LSU team that's not a plus. They're even in the turnover ratio so far this season. Utah State is minus two. If they can stay even, if not, maybe get a turnover or two. Who knows? Because you're right. If LSU doesn't come in with the right mindset and Utah State just is loose and can play free, anything could happen.
Yep.
And Utah State is good enough. Trust me, they are good enough to compete with almost anybody, at least for an extended period of time. Now, they may run out of gas towards the end. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, and they're going to be playing in front of 100,000 people. And, you know, I'm certain that the LSU fans will infuse some energy into their squad. But, boy, I'm excited to watch it play because I think Utah State can hang with these guys and make it really, really interesting at the end.
Yep. All right. Well, great stuff as always, Kevin. We appreciate it and look forward to catching up with you again coming up on Saturday as we count you down to kickoff. And I will say this. I've reached out to a couple of people there. I am trying to find us a good place to go and experience the, cause we're only going to be there for one night. So we got to experience the Louisiana cuisine there on Friday night. So I'm trying to find us a place.
Cajun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a little Cajun style, maybe some alligator.
That's what I thought too. I reached out to, I was on a podcast with the play-by-play guy, for LSU and, really great conversation. It was a lot of fun. And I asked him at the end of the podcast, and I think he was wanting to be very careful because you got to be diplomatic. You can't start throwing out names of restaurants. So he said, I'll text you. So he sent me the name of the restaurant, and it's an Italian place. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Look, I get beat up on my radio show all the time because you and I went to a Japanese steakhouse in Albuquerque. That's one thing. But like, if look, if we're in Louisiana, I'm not looking for fettuccine Alfredo. I mean, like, come on, let's.
I'm with you. We got to go. You know, when in Rome, got to go do it.
I want some po' boys. I want some hush puppies. I want some alligator. I want to, you know, maybe a little gumbo. I want to really experience
shrimp.
Things. Yeah,
for sure. Let's go do it.
I do hear they have good calamari in Louisiana. That's an inside joke. Sorry, people.
That may be inside. Yeah. So,
All right.
Too close.
Kevin, appreciate it, man. Look forward to chatting with you coming up on Saturday.
All right, Scotty. Go Aggies.
This segment brought to you by Gill Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team. They're experienced, knowledgeable with all types of loan products and tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. Now it's time to check in with Jaden Johnson, a little Olympic sports report, as he has a chance to catch up with the Utah State women's soccer team.
Hey guys, Jaden Johnson here, joined today with Megan Astle, Megan Umbeduct, and Catherine Wynn of the Utah State soccer team. Ladies, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Living my
best life.
Now, I wanted to talk to you guys because you had a pretty exciting summer. All three of you are freshmen. All three of you come from Utah County, and all three of you played on a national championship club soccer team over the summer, played for Celtic FC. Is that kind of surreal to hear, national champs?
Yeah, pretty crazy. Unbelievable.
probably haven't gotten used to that.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
for sure not. Still doesn't feel real.
Nope.
So tell me a little bit about that team and about the tournament that you guys played in. And I mean, there's 1,000+ club soccer teams in the country. It's a pretty big deal to be named national champions and to come out on top of all those teams.
I can go. It was a pretty cool experience. I mean, the year before we had fallen short at regionals. So you start at State Cup, then if you win, you go to regionals, and if you win regionals, then you go to nationals. And we went to nationals in 2017 and got third place. And so once we got there, we kind of felt like we knew we could do more and we wanted to do more. And the whole idea of our team, we're just all best friends, and so we all were just happy to do it together, and everybody loves everybody. And so coming into our last season, we just wanted to make it the best season we could. And the year before, we had lost in the semifinals overtime in Hawaii. And so it was probably one of the most devastating losses for me, at least.
It was the worst loss. We choked.
We choked so hard. But so we go into nationals. We go through State Cup. We win everything. We go to regionals. We score 22 goals and don't get scored on once. And then we go to nationals and... I mean, we won, so it was pretty exciting for us.
I put that down as a note. I mean, it wasn't like you just won the national championship. You rolled through the Utah State Cup, 22-0, like you said, in the regionals. And then you win the national championship by a score of 9-1.
Yeah.
To a team we
went, tied them
we
the earlier that week.
Yeah, we played so bad, but we saw us. The final was pretty... It was the best game I think we've ever played together.
Yeah. Oh, I'd say 9-1 in a national championship. What made that team so good?
I think everybody just was doing their job in their position and not trying to do too much, and we just worked really well together as a team, and everybody had their best game and was spot on and everything. We worked well together.
And some of us have been playing with each other since we were like, 12? Younger even.
Like, we've been on the team since we were like eight or seven.
Wow. We started
so
together.
It's been a long journey.
Yeah, they're all just best friends, and like the chemistry is like
unreal.
A family. Yeah. We're all best friends. It's so much fun.
Well, we've got Draper, Linden, and Provo in the house, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty regional team.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
We had some girls from like Ogden. And a girl from Park City, but everybody was pretty close, tight-knit.
Utah
like,
County.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Majority, like all growing up, it was generally generally Orem players, so.
Yeah.
From Orem to the national championship. Mm-hmm. Well, and I was looking, and almost every girl on that team is playing college soccer at some level.
Yeah. Every single person is playing.
Every single one. Are you serious? Mm-hmm. That's going to be pretty incredible to look around and see.
Yeah.
It's crazy playing against
teammates. We play other teams and our teammates are on those
Have you played some of them this year already?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. We played some at Utah.
Yeah,
and who
it was
else?
Pretty fun.
We played another. I don't know.
I don't know, but we will in the future. We're excited.
Yeah.
We miss them, so it'll be fun to see them again.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So for the three of you, was it when you were trying to make up your mind as far as a school to go to and you were being recruited. What was the recruiting process like for each of you? And was it, I mean, did you come as a package deal? Was it, did you talk to each other at all about the decision? Or was it just totally individual decisions?
We all committed at different times.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty, I feel like it's kind of an individual kind of thing. It's not really something you share with a lot of people. And I think because of that, majority of people are pretty naive going into it. Like, I was completely unaware of how intense and, like, how much more there is to it than it is. And so, I don't know,
she committed here first, and then I committed.
I was a sophomore, after? Kat was senior, then Umbi was at UVU.
I was actually committed to UVU first.
Really?
And went there for the spring semester. I graduated early, decided wasn't the fit for me. Transferred 3 months ago.
Yeah,
came like in July
at regionals. She was debating.
I committed to USU.
Was it a tough decision?
Yes, because I wasn't planning on playing soccer here. Because I came for the program, interior design, my major.
Oh yeah,
very cool. Then my coach, UVU coach, called Utah State and worked it out for me for me to come here. So,
but I'd have to imagine having each other and having familiar faces to go right into it. That's got to help, right?
Yeah, nice. For sure.
Yeah, it's intimidating coming in and having people, you know, having friends is really helpful to help break the ice and stuff. So
yeah,
very cool. And already some, you know, some automatic chemistry, right?
Yeah,
seriously.
And so what was the biggest things that really drew you each to Utah State?
I really like the campus up here and the feeling on the team. I felt like when we came up for like a visit and got to interact with the team, they all had a super close relationship with each other, and I really liked that.
Now, did any of you come on visits together, or were they all separate?
On our official visit, she came up, so we were there together. But like before individually, committing, it was individual. But yeah, it's such a pretty campus. It's like, I don't know. I think it stands out. Obviously, I'm an Aggie now, so it's the best campus in the nation. But like before I came, it was a standout for sure. It's unique and it's a different vibe up here, and I love it. So,
well, I've been saying for years, I've never seen a soccer field with a better view than Belfield.
Yeah,
it's right in the background.
So pretty,
especially in the fall. Really, we're coming up on that. Oh, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome.
A great home field. So each of you have played quite a bit this season. And at least gotten in and contributed a bit to this year's team. What's this, I guess, the jump been like from playing club level to playing at Utah State at the Mountain West level? Is it similar? Is it quite a bit different?
The speed of play,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Is the main one, yeah.
Yeah, I also think it's possession-based, but it's all speed. Like, it almost seems like it's more direct because of how fast it is, but it still is, like, possession is just different. Like, I think from the beginning of the season to how we are now is you compare our teams and we're so much better already. And I feel like we've finally figured out how to possess and be fast, and it's for sure speed of play. Because in the club, you feel like you're playing super fast, and then you go to your first college, they're stronger, faster, bigger. Yeah. Like, you just, but it's an adjustment, but it's,
I think it's just more intense in college.
It is, for sure. Fitness, everything is.
Everything. Everyone's just more serious about the sport. Mm-hmm. Since they're playing at the college level.
Yeah. Was that something that you noticed right away from just practicing with the team, or was it once games started you started to realize that?
I think from the practices you can feel the vibe is a little bit more serious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of club teams are intense and have like fitness and tons of stuff, but ours was probably the most chill team I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, we all knew we had the same goals, but we were so laid back. Like, our practices, like when it came to like doing a drill or something, we were in the zone, we were intense, but we also were having tons of fun, and like at water breaks we're joking around, making jokes with people, and you don't see that a lot in club teams. Even just I don't know, we were a miracle. I don't know how it happened, because you look at the beginning and you're just like, how did our team make it? Like, you look at the girls on our team, we're just like,
well, we never conditioned
normal
either.
Girls never had fitness, never had anything. We were just like tons of friends playing games together, like, and it worked out. So I don't know. It's definitely different, but it's a lot of fun up here.
Yeah, I imagine that everyone's, you know, takes a little more, maybe not more seriously, but you know, that's what you're receiving a scholarship for, and you're really, you know, all in on soccer right now. And of course, being a student as well. But
it's a job. It is a job.
I've seen how many hours student athletes put in with all of the soccer and, well, you know, whatever their sport is, and that mixed with academics, mixed with study halls and all this, and it's really incredible. Has that been a tough adjustment for any of you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I've always been super disciplined in, like, school and stuff, but it's all, like, there's a lot more responsibility on you, and it's all, if you want to go to class, that's on you. A teacher's not going to get you there. You have to get yourself there, and so, but...
I realized my first semester that you don't have to go to class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was not a good thing for me to realize.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But you feel like you've gotten a little bit of a hang of it?
Yeah. They've definitely been very helpful in helping us ease into it and helping us with all our classes and getting it all done for us, which is really nice.
Super, super nice. A lot of resources for us.
Yeah.
So I know that none of you were on the team last year, all three of your freshmen, but you look in last year's team, you know, they had some ups and downs, and, you know, they beat the top team in the conference right at the end, but they go 3-12-2. Now this season, it seems like just a switch has flipped, and all of a sudden 5-3 right out of the gates. You beat the Big Sky Champs from last year in Weber State, have won a couple really big road games. What's the mood like around the team this year?
I think everyone's just really motivated to be better since... I don't know. It's hard to, you don't want to focus too much on the past.
Sure.
Especially, and I think there's a lot of new players. Like, there's like 12
a lot of
new people on the team, which I think brings a new energy, adds competition to everybody.
It's ups a young
the
team.
Play. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something, but I forgot. But a lot of players, like, last year had a big focus on this team is mindset and having a championship mindset and doing the extra things in order to be champions. And so I feel like on our team this year, a lot, there's a big focus on having the right mindset. Like Kat was saying, think about the past, but get over it, move on, and let's go win another game. And focusing on the now rather than what's happened. And so I feel like, I don't know, it's just all having the right mindset. And this year it's definitely a more positive. Everyone's like, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. We got it. And it's a very supportive atmosphere in practices and in games.
Yeah, super positive, no drama, like, with the no drama comes, like, more
unity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
What's it like playing for Coach Cairns? She's one of my favorite coaches to talk to. She's always really upbeat, really positive. I mean, of course, I haven't been in a practice after a loss, so I don't know. But
No, she's always positive. Always so positive. Yeah. I hear a lot of, like I said, our team before, we're all at different colleges and things like that, and a lot of the players are telling me, like, yeah, it's kind of, like, coaches get on you a lot, and that's true. Coaches are always getting on you, like, coaching you and helping you, which is what they should be doing. But Coach Cairns is definitely, I feel like, a lot more positive than any other coach. Like, she's always, she'll say something to improve, but she's also going to give you tons of advice and positive things of what you did good. Like, it's always going to leave you feeling better about yourself than degrading you, I feel like.
I really like it because I feel like it's hard to play for a coach when you're so intimidated and scared to make a mistake, but I think she's a great coach that way because... you're not afraid if you mess up. You know that it's okay. Like, hey, I'll get the next one. Like, you're not so worried about being intimidated by the coaches. She's really positive.
That's super true.
Yeah, she just makes you feel welcomed and just, and I don't know.
Yeah.
No, she's awesome.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does.
Huge difference.
That's awesome. So you're through preseason play. Mm-hmm. Finished the preseason, like I said, 5-3, a pretty solid preseason. And, now conference play starts this weekend, right?
Yeah, yep, Friday.
And you guys are off on the road for the first four games. You ready for conference play? You looking forward to it?
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah. It's fun preseason, but I'm excited for the games to start meaning more and leading up to something.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I hit with a pretty brutal schedule. I think it's, what, eight of nine
we
on the road?
So many away games.
It's hard. I just hate missing school. It's so much to make up, and it's just stressful not, like, missing what maybe a professor had talked about in a lecture, but it's fun. That stresses me out.
Home games are fun, but it's okay.
Home games are nice.
But, hey, on the bright side, the month of October is going to be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be so nice.
That's down the stretch of Mountain West Conference play, so the games maybe not mean more, but...
It's going to be... it's going to help you, like, a reset. Like, let's go, like, home games. I don't know. It's fun to be home, but I'm excited.
Well, I'm a big soccer fan, and I love just getting out to the games, especially a nice October day.
Shout out, come to the games, come
Friday
to the games.
Afternoon.
If you're listening, come to the games.
So there are a few weeks until you guys are next home, but yeah, I think that
There's no better way to spend an afternoon. So
yeah,
hopefully people can come out and see you guys. We got to wrap things up, but I want to ask each of you before we close, what's been your favorite thing about being at Utah State so far?
I don't know. I love it. I don't know why. I think it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a cool experience. Like moving out, it was super sad for me, just leaving my family or whatever. But it's also fun to be kind of like learn about yourself more and kind of be independent and also spend it with your best friends. And so I've loved getting to know new people, and the team's been so much fun. I mean, soccer is obviously my favorite part, but every part of it is so much fun.
What about you, Catherine?
I agree that it was like hard to transition from high school, leaving that. You're like what you're like really comfortable in your situation, playing on the same club team your whole life, and then moving to a thing with new coaches, new teammates, new house. But I really liked creating new relationships with the teammates and getting to know everyone, and everyone's been so nice and awesome. And the soccer's been really fun.
Mine also has to be the team and just getting to know everyone individually and just who we hang with and mingle.
Get to know, mingle.
Have you been able to try Aggie ice cream yet?
Yes. The ice cream is good. And the chocolate milk.
Yes.
We get unlimited chocolate milk, and it's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Every day. You got to have, like, every meal chocolate milk.
It's the greatest.
It's so good.
It's a good life.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining. Congrats on the national championship.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. Congrats on a good start to the season. And good luck heading into Mountain West Conference play.
Thank you.